go to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. Malachi, chapter 2. I'm not going to keep you long this afternoon, but I'm going to want to look at some things here. In Malachi, chapter 2, and verse 10, there's some questions that are asked. It says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, in him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Now, Father, we thank you again for the word of God, and I pray you'd help me in this time we have to just be clear and straightforward and scriptural. Lord, we just pray you'd bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we talk about the fatherhood of God, so many people have an understanding, and they think, and partly rightfully so, but partly rightfully so, they think of God as the Creator being the Father of all things. And in a sense, He is. And more particularly to Israel, the nation Israel, He was and is a father in a sense, in the way He was supposed to be. There's a lot of metaphors and things that God uses to show His love and care for Israel as well as for us in the church. And but here they ask a question. They said, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" All right, and then of course the question is, why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Plural. Talking about earthly fathers. But he says, "Hath we not one Father? And hath not one God created us?" And the world has a tendency to think of themselves as being the children of God just by virtue of creation. Because what they deny is they deny the fall of man. If you go to the book of Luke, I want to show you something. You go to the book of Luke and you look at the genealogies of the Lord. You know, Matthew being Joseph's genealogy and the book of Luke being the genealogy of Mary, as I understand it. But if you look at verse 36, it says, of course, it goes all the way through all these different people, all the way through the lineage of everyone there. But in verse 36 it says, "Was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Sem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalio, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God." And the lineage there that they're showing is obviously showing the lineage of the virgin birth. And Adam being created, Adam was created, part of what Adam was created was to be a son to God. A child, if you will. And there's some picture, some focus of that. God was not just the creator, but he was more and intended to be more. And of course, when we talk about redemption, to redeem something is something that is bought back. If something is redeemed, it's been lost and it's bought back. It's repurchased, if you will. And that's what redemption means. It means to buy back, in a sense. So, to be redeemed of something means to be... when we had people were saying, I want an opportunity to redeem myself. They're saying, I want an attempt to gain back or purchase back that which I have lost. That's what redemption is. And you know, mankind continues, and most people sit there and they think that God's the father of everybody and everything like that. But they remain ignorant about the fall. They want to deny the fall of man. And in Israel, in this case, they had to realize something that even though God treated them like a child and everything, even though there are other things, He was considered married to them. And then we have the same image in the church with the bride of Christ and everything like that. We have that type of relationship, that intimacy, if you will. And but the focus is, so many people look at themselves as being children of God. And they're not. They were intended to be from the original creation. You know, God said the same thing to Noah that He said to Adam and Eve. To be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. The original understanding of the word replenish was not to do over, but to do. To fill. But God gave the same command to both of them. Pre-fall, post-fall. God's intent was the same. Because God, of course, we know that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, don't we? But you know, and once again, this goes to the great privilege it is to be able to call God our Father. But I want you to see something. I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. And remember we talked a couple weeks ago about, or last week or whatever, about In John chapter 8 and about if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Alright? And you shall know the truth, and the truth make you free. In verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now this is so stupid for them to say that, because they have been in bondage many times. We've never been in bondage to any man. They were in bondage. The nation of Israel was in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage in many other times during their history. And the ones that are there now, they are in bondage to the Roman Empire. You know, they were carried away into captivity into Babylon, right? Captivity. It's bondage. And you know, the world is the same way. They sit in bondage and say, "We're not in bondage." And we have to get them to recognize that they are indeed in bondage. They're slaves to sin. But notice what he says. He goes on and says that Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Notice what he said to them. He said, you do the deeds of your father. He said, we're not born of fornication. We only have one father. That's God's our father. And he said, if God were your father, you would love me. Boy, you know, that's a good way to test whether somebody's truly a child of God. If God's their father, they will love the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus that is made up of man, but the Jesus of the Bible. You know, they'll sit there and they'll get on there and this is the sad thing is, I wonder about some of these preachers that get on there, and I've talked about them before, you know, the ones that won't say, well, they get on there and say that, well, you know, I can't, God's the judge, I can't really say if anybody's going to be lost or saved, I can't just say, you know, Jesus is the only way for me. No, he's the only way for everybody. That's showing me that they're ashamed of Jesus. I wonder about their salvation. They don't have the simplest to say, hey, look, if you got a problem, your problem's with the Jesus of the Bible, because he's the one. Jesus is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the one that said, if you believe not that I am he, that I'm the Savior, ye shall die in your sin. Jesus is the one that said, if God were your father, ye would love me. So when we talk about God being the father, the world has this mistaken idea that somehow, that because of creation, that God is our father. And there's a little bit of truth in every lie. That's the way God intended it to be. We look at that. Adam is called the son of God for a reason. Just shows, even the angels are called the sons of God in some places, aren't they? In the Old Testament, maybe in the book of Job, you look at that type of thing, and we see that language given because God desires to be a father to us, to his creation. And what a blessing of it is, we are made partakers of the divine nature. You know, I have our oldest two girls are naturally Sister Denise's and adopted by me. And we have a wonderful relationship, and we always have, and it's always been a wonderful thing. It's been a pleasure to have them as my children, as my adopted children in that regard. And I'm the only daddy they've ever known. And that's a good thing. But you know, wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if I could just take my blood and put it in their veins, where they would truly be my children in every possible sense of the word, they would be my children in every possible sense of the word, that they would be my blood children. That'd be a tremendous thing to be able to do. Now legally they have all the rights of all my children. But it's just that's the magic of what God does. He puts his spirit within us. He adopts us. And then but it's not just a legal thing. We're partakers of his nature. That's something amazing to think about. That's what the world needs to see. It's more than just declaring God to be your father, because God's the creator. Isn't that the way the world is? Well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I know you know this, but you know, we talked about the wonder of it this morning, of being a child of God, and all I can say to you now is most people are believing a lie. They've been told a lie. Remember, when we look in the book of John, what we said, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Then he asked the question, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You know, there's the simple truth about the word of God when we look at that. And it's something that the world needs to understand. People don't understand. You know, I remember Brother Butch Carson preaching one time, and I heard him preach, and he said, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a devil worshiper. More people got offended at that. I don't worship the devil. Well, you may not overtly say you worship him, but in the final analysis, you do. You know, when we get to the revelation, that time in the tribulation and everything like that, all the world's going to wonder after the beast, and they're going to think he's just the best thing at all. He's going to declare himself to be the Savior. And they're going to worship him, thinking that they're doing good. But they're going to be worshiping the devil the whole time. They're going to be worshiping the one that embodies him, and eventually they'll just give out the full-out worship of the dragon, won't they? The devil. And they'll oppose the Lamb. And you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Children of wrath means children of the devil. We walked according to him. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And of course we know the next verse, for by grace you're saved through yourselves, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there's the change there. But he talks about that we walked according to the course of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So everyone out there that rejects Jesus Christ, they are walking according to the influence of the devil, of their father, because they are by nature just as we were before we got saved. They are by nature the children of wrath. Rebels against God, not children of God. So I just wanted to take a few minutes to make you think about that. While we rejoice in the goodness of God saving our souls and making us his children, there's a whole world out there that still needs to hear the message, that don't believe, and somebody has to tell them. There was a time I did not believe, even though I thought I believed, but I didn't. And somebody cared about my soul. Some child of God, somebody who was actually a child of God, came to me I'm so glad. I'm so happy to be a child of God. I'm so happy to be saved. Sure wish others could be as happy. You know, I have two great burdens in my life and things that just aggravate me and worry me to no end and frustrate me to no end. One is, you know, I look at my children, I look at their marriages and the things, and I look at the relationship me and sister Denise have, and I honestly wish everybody could be as happily married as we are. They could be if they wanted to do it God's way. They really could be. I mean, even people that had arranged marriages in the Bible that did it God's way, they stayed together and were happy with their lives and had other. And sometimes I look at my kids and the struggles they go through and the thing and other people that I have to counsel and talk to, and I just say, why can't people just do things God's way? It'd be so much better. They'd realize that God's way works and it's just so much better. And the other thing is, and even more importantly, is I just wish people could be saved and know what it means to be saved and know what it means to walk with God, know what it means to be able to rejoice in God's goodness. And so many people just don't. It's hard for them to see it, and they don't understand it. All the time thinking that they're God's children and they're not. Well, what a special thing it is to be a child of God. But I hope if you're thankful for that, even more so, you have the ability and the privilege and the authority to try to bring other people into the family, to give them the gospel. Just make sure we do that as much as we can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you again for just loving us the way you do. Thank you, Lord, for the giving and the meeting our mission's goals and Lord, the opportunity of supporting people that are going out and sharing the gospel. But Father, help us to, as we rejoice in your goodness, as we rejoice in the wonderful and the magnificent privilege we have to be able to call you our Father and to be your children. Lord, help us realize that there are many who have been deceived by the devil, but they need to hear the truth. And we can't make them believe it, but we can make sure they hear it. And Lord, we just pray that you'd work in their hearts, that folks would be saved, so that more people would be able to know the great privilege of being a child of God. We just pray for the salvation of souls, Lord. Like Brother Larry was saying, all these people we've given out gospel tracts to and sent the mailers to and given the John and Romans and all the things that and the efforts of the missionaries we support and the things that we've done and they've done. I just pray that people be saved. Just so thankful for hearing from the Stokes family, these people getting saved and this family coming to know the Lord as their Savior. Lord, we pray for them. We just ask you to help them and help them to grow up in the Lord and become what you want them to be. Lord, we're just so thankful that you're still redeeming lost sinners and making them your children. We just pray you'd help us to have a part in that. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.